In the Gospel, St. John tells us today of our Lord. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, children, the church feels like, well, it's like a child in a family who has a birthday, only somebody in the family died. But it wouldn't do not to have a birthday party. After all, the child's looking forward to it. And so you get out the little party hats, and the cake has come, and the candles, and the happy birthday is sung. We don't want to disappoint the little one for the birthday, but someone has died. And beneath it all, not very far beneath either, there's a great air of sorrow. And for our joy, it almost seems a bit like make-believe. So today, the cross has two veils. There's a white veil on top and a purple for the passion and for sorrow, underneath. And there's a birthday. There are three birthdays that we're celebrating today. And then there's a funeral. There's a death. But this death gives us life. And therefore, how could we not be happy over it? The Blessed Sacrament is born today at the Last Supper, the First Mass. The Blessed Sacrament, both the sacrament, Holy Communion, we receive, the sacrifice, and our Lord's abiding Eucharistic presence with us all days in the tabernacle. And then more, there would have to be a means for this sacrament and this sacrifice and this presence. And it is the priesthood which preserves it and which provides it. And today is the birthday of the priesthood. So our Mass today started out joyful in white and gold. And every year we're surprised and delighted like children with the ringing of the bells. Only we weren't too surprised today because some of the altar boys were a little trigger happy with the bells, which is understandable after all. It's one of the best parts of being a server all year long to be able to ring the bells and make all of that glorious noise, along with Father Cicala at the console, at the intonation of the Gloria today and on Holy Saturday. Did you ever think, children, by the way, how interesting that Holy Week, although so sacred and solemn and silent, Holy Week is a very noisy affair, isn't it? We're allowed once a year to make noise in church. Some children, I'm told, do it even when they're not allowed, but we won't talk about that today. Today, you're allowed to make noise in church, at the Gloria. And then if you come back to Tenebrae tonight, you must plead with your parents to bring you. Why, then at the very end, when all is dark and still and the choir has sung its little heart out, then there's another kind of a noise, solemn and sad, and the earthquake. We had an excellent earthquake noise last night for the death of our Lord. After the Gloria is sung, the organ is not played anymore now till Easter, nor are the bells rung, and the servers will use a clacker to sound the important times of the Mass. Then the bishop sang the collect, the official prayer of the Mass, in which, well, really the church talked about everybody getting what he deserved. That proud priest who only wanted power, after all, and prestige and money, Judas, he went to hell. And the poor thief, who for all of his trouble ended up crucified, for one prayer on Good Friday, he went to heaven. And then since Judas betrayed our Lord with a kiss, you will notice that at the Mass there's no kiss of peace this morning. And then the Holy Communion, sad and solemn, more sacred than usual, our share in the sufferings of our Savior, who is all of our strength, and how grateful we are with the little flower that the good Lord did not come down from heaven to earth to stay in the golden ciborium of the altar, but to make our hearts his tabernacle. By the time Mass is over, we've almost forgotten the three birthdays we were celebrating. And now it's the funeral, and the masters of ceremony will arrange the burial procession, and the little children will have their flowers, and you'll have your lights, and there'll be incense, and off we march slowly to the garden mausoleum, where we will keep watch with Christ to answer his plea, "Watch with me, at least a little bit, these 24 hours and more." And then we'll come back during the day, won't we, to pay our respects and to say how sorry we are for all that our Lord suffered and that he died for us. And the Vespers, well, the Vespers give us a chance to see how our Lord prayed. He would always pray with the Psalms of the Old Testament, and they're always a prayer of thanksgiving. All Lent long, the schoolboys have been joining the priests in the sanctuary to chant the Vespers every day as their special Lenten observance. And now, today and tomorrow, we have the Vespers still, our Vespers of thanksgiving. Last of all, the stripping of the altars. That stands for, doesn't it, our Lord being stripped, not once but many times in his passion. And each time he was stripped, it hurt him. It hurt him in his soul as well as in his body, because sometimes his garments adhered to his torn and bloody flesh. He was stripped. They divided my garments among them, and over my vesture they cast lots. We will sing. And the altar is stripped because tomorrow there will be no Mass. There are so many beautiful and so many holy thoughts today. What should we settle upon? Well, I'm thinking of a story of the little flower, of course, when she was a little girl, and you may remember it. It's the Leonie doll basket story, how her older sister decided she was too old to play with dolls, and she comes to little Therese and her next older sister, Celine, and they're outside playing someplace, and she gives them a basket with her doll in it and all sorts of doll clothes and dolly-type things. And Celine, very properly, picks one doll dress and thanks her sister. And you remember what Therese did? She took the whole basket, and she said, "I choose all." That's what we should think about today, children. Not one thought above another, but "I choose all." Just as our little flower saint said, "I want to be, when I grow up, a martyr to shed my blood for Christ. And I want to be a priest to bring the blessed sacrament to souls that need our Lord and to preach. And I want to be a doctor, a great teacher in the church about the gospel. And I want to be an apostle. I want to be a missionary to the whole world." Her holy desires were infinite. How could this be possible? This teenage girl who goes into the convent and is cloistered, she never comes out, for the rest of her life. It's possible by love. Remember, love summarizes your vocation and my vocation and all calls from God into one. Saint Teresa said, "My vocation is love, and I will be love in the heart of my mother, the church." Today is the joyful birthday of the priesthood, that priesthood which the little flower so esteemed and so loved and supported. I wonder if our Catholics, I mean the few that are left anymore, I wonder if our Catholics realize when they don't support our seminary and when they do discourage vocations, even in their own home, and when they do criticize and even sometimes try to tear down and destroy a priest. perhaps because they're burning with envy of a priest's position and his power. I wonder if our Catholics realize what the priesthood is, and that without the priesthood, the cure of ours said, leave a parish without a priest, and in 20 years the people will turn into beasts. Leave the world without priests for 40 years. And well, you have the headlines in the paper of yesterday, don't you? Now, Saint Therese, she understood the sublimity and the sanctity of the priesthood. She wished she could have been a priest. No, not like the nuns on the bus and all the moderns who pitching all their hopes on this latest character in Rome for the ordination of women. Nothing like that. She understood God's will. She understood it so well that she could even joke about it. She said, you know, I'm going to die at the age of 24 when most priests are ordained. And that way, I'll be busy dying, so I won't be too disturbed or disappointed that I'm not able to become a priest. But she believed that her holy desires counted with God, and that she would receive somehow in heaven the spiritual graces of the priesthood, its spiritual effects. How could she do that? Well, she could do that because of love. By love, she was able to realize her spiritual vocation to be a priest. And in the meantime, would she be envious of priests, jealous of their powers? No. She would love the priests and pray for them and encourage them. She had two baby brothers, you know, who died in infancy. And then there weren't any more boys in the family, just girls. And it was a great sorrow to everybody because all good families back then, instead of dreading the prospect of a vocation, actually hoped for one. And they would pray that one of their boys might be called by God to the priesthood. She was very happy one day when the superior, who was her sister, called her into her office and said, I want you to adopt a priest. And then later on, there was a second priest that she was given to adopt, to pray for, to encourage, and to write to. She says, Teresa does, the Savior lifted up the veil which obscures the things of eternity. And what a comfort it was to be able to work with a priest for the salvation of poor heathens. She felt so happy. Let me close by reading to you her words of joy at the thought of being able to be a sister to a priest. I felt happy as a child. I can't remember ever having been so happy since my childhood, when my heart seemed all too small to contain its vivid joys. I had not felt this happy in years, as though my heart were born again, and as if, think of the Gloria today, forgotten chords of music had been touched for the first time. Truly, Saint Teresa loves priests, and she loves those who love our Lord's anointed as well. Ask Saint Teresa to make this childlike joy in the treasure we possess, which enables us to have our Lord with us all days unto the consummation of the world. May this childlike joy be yours today and always. The Mass, the sacrament, all seven, the blessed sacrament, most of all, because of the valid and the true priesthood which we possess. And like Saint Teresa, ask to become, well, to become like our Lord by love, and that with great joy. My God, what treasures are ours. Having loved his own, our own priests He loved them unto the end. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.